Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Game Slackers on 101.5 UMFM.
That's the radio.
It is the radio, and we talk about video games on this here radio show, brought to you on Wednesdays in the morning, guys.
Radio.
When most people are at work and we're...
Or having lunch, or early lunch.
Getting ready for lunch. Kids who stayed home from school. It's still summer.
Summer school. Yeah. Skipping summer school. That's probably a good idea.
Woof.
Yeah.
Well, if you did have to stay home for any reason, you're listening to us. When you're done listening to us, you should go play some video games. Because that's a good thing to do when you're not feeling great, but still have the capability of using your hands and your mind.
Wow.
Well, that's what I used to do whenever I got sick.
Yeah, it's true. Like, go to someone's house who has a video game system that you don't have.
And make them sick.
Okay, no.
Sure, that's how that works. It's like your own living version of Pandemic.
What? Oh.
Yeah, the game.
Okay.
Pandemic.
I see what you're talking about.
Yeah. You know that game where you try to, you know, infect the entire world with a made-up disease?
Yes.
Yeah, that game.
Yeah, you can name it whatever you want.
I will not lie. I have spent a long time playing that game a couple times because it's very absorbing. Yeah. Anyway, Nintendo actually put out a Direct on Monday announcing a whole schwackload of indie video games that they're bringing to their little handheld system.
Yeah.
And a lot of them look really, really cool. And I think I'm going to be spending a lot of money on my Nintendo Switch in the coming few months.
Yeah, so specifically, I guess this was like, it's called Indie World Showcase. Which is basically, I don't know, a fancy way of saying Nintendo has acquired a bunch of games that were already out, which is fine. But it's just, yeah. I guess more people were probably expecting Pokemon stuff, but yeah.
Which they're sort of slowly leaking out there, bit by bit.
Yeah, and I know most people don't actually want to see all of the Pokemon before the actual game, right? It's kind of fun to like be like, oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow, or oh, that's, ooh.
But
not,
why, Nintendo?
Not great.
No, why would you do that to us, Nintendo? Anyway, there have been a bunch of really weird ones that I've never seen before. I'm going to try and pick up Fogs, which was a weird puzzle sort of Katamari-esque game where you get to be like two dogs attached to like each other, like a cat-dog situation.
I hate cat-dog.
Yeah, but these were cute. This wasn't weird and creepy. This was cute. We have our Warcraft-esque game, Northgard, which, you know, I may pick up just for the nostalgia value because I'm not sure if anybody else has spent hours playing Warcraft back in the day when they had their PC set up for it, or StarCraft. Not so much.
I am not a fan of either.
That's fine. I can spend a long time playing it, just, you know, micromanaging all my little guys.
I always felt my brother played a lot of StarCraft, and I always found it incredibly ugly looking.
I like when they were like, yes, my lord.
No, like, my brother played, like, a lot of StarCraft 2.
Oh.
And it's just, like, brown and...
blue.
Yeah, and it's just, like, not... I get it. My brother, like, once again, he played. I have seen a lot of StarCraft 2 because my brother played a lot of StarCraft 2.
StarCraft 2 is still huge in places.
Yeah, I know, it's a little weird. I'm sure, you know, there are mods at this point in time where you can make your graphics look pretty and maybe, like, iridescent, which would be cool. I just like World of Warcraft, I just honestly never cared. StarCraft, I felt, was a better deal because, once again, it was, like, a one-time purchase. But, yeah, I never, like, the only game that was sort of, I guess, kind of like, no, it wasn't micromanaging, but similar was Diablo 1 and 2 in sort of, like, the oldie time, that kind of graphic, that kind of, like, that was the only one that I was like, yeah, okay, I can get behind this even though it terrifies me, you know. That was about it.
I just remember the game over screen of Diablo scaring the heck out of me because it was just
dark and
There was a terrible sound, and I'm not sure if it's because the computer froze at that time.
Nice.
But it kept playing terrible pig sounds.
And probably, like, well, at the time, your computers or speakers were probably, like, you know, good old rocks with holes in them, basically. So the sound wasn't the best, right?
Those speakers served so well. It's the computer itself that kind of
crackled out. Yeah.
Yeesh. And there is a party game coming out that kind of interests me because I used to play a lot of Munchkin once upon a time.
Okay.
So,
which is the party game?
Munchkin Quacked Quest.
Oh, it's a, okay. This goes back to my deep-seated dislike of video games that are like card games or video games that are board games. I've always felt that that was just a cop-out and just like, never enjoyed them. I can see the value in them.
This isn't a card game from the looks of it, though. This, you get like various different items and characters, and you try to mess up each other as you're making your way through a dungeon. There doesn't seem to be cards involved at all. It's more like a competitive dungeon crawler.
That sounds way more interesting. I just, like, I know me, and I'm like, I have a deep-seated, like, if it was like Clue the video game, I'm like, ugh. Why bother? Just play the board game. Like, you would enjoy it as much, and it probably wouldn't be as frustrated with these Super Nintendo controls.
I had the VHS Clue game.
See? Like,
it counts as a video game.
I guess so, but did you have the board game with it?
Yeah, I came with all those pieces.
So I feel that's like an interactive board game. Like, maybe, woof. Yeah. I will say they are coming out with Trine 4, and I've played Trine, I want to say 2. And it was really fun. Basically, Trine is like you can play with other people, but if you play single player, you get to choose 3 different characters, and you get to switch between them. And it's a bunch of basically like sort of attacking slash puzzling, and there's sort of little cute stories. It's a very pretty side-scroller. Like, yeah, so I assume the next, like, I like that they're continuing them. I will say, like, they can be a frustrating game to play with people, especially since there's, like, an archer lady, a sorcerer, and I guess a knight, probably. Like, mm-hmm. This is how, you know, how the tropes go, you know?
Play with your tropes, guys.
Yeah. But they all have different, you know, powers, you know, and so it can be very frustrating. I remember, but, yeah. That was back on PC. This is for the Switch. I assume it's going to come to other stuff, including PC. But that would also be kind of a fun party game, I think. Group game, at least. Because you can play together.
There you go. We got to get more controllers, apparently.
We technically have 4 at this time. And, yeah. So, like, we have a good amount.
We got to get one more friend.
Yeah, there we go. Fourth person.
Fourth person.
There we go.
So I was also looking at Cat Quest, which raised a concern with me because I got it confused with Kitten Squad.
Yeah.
Apparently this is not
Cat Quest is basically Harvest Moon / Stardew Valley plus Warrior Cats. Like, it's the Warrior Cats video game that everybody wanted. If you don't know what Warrior Cats is, I could tell you, but you could just Google it because I could go on for hours.
These cats look like they're dressed up in like armor.
Yes, you can. Yeah, you can outfit. Yeah, it's very cute. So it's neat that they're making another one. I wonder what's updated and what will be different, because Cat Quest, like the first one, is kind of a game where it's like, this, you have basically probably everything you want, right? And there's maybe not much of a story, but it's a, you know, you build your little cat camp and all the cats do the stuff and you go do other cat stuff.
You know what? If that's what it is, like,
have a cat wife in your cat life. Yeah.
With a cat knife.
Oh, no. Yeah, you probably actually, once again,
because you get to fight things.
Yeah, the cats have armor and hats and, yeah. It's very cute. I've just never bought it because I'm like, I don't know if I want $20, spend $20 for this. But maybe the second one will be like even prettier and I'll be like, I'll spend $20 on you. Also fancier, you know?
And there were 3 other games. Rookie and Spiritfarer looked very similar kind of aesthetically, where you are doing platform or puzzle sort of situations.
Mm.
But I still want to check them out because they did look so aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah.
They look very pretty.
I was like, the one that you haven't ever played that's like Valhalla, right? Remember that one? It's all hand-drawn and it's like Norse mythology. I think it's called Valhalla. I think I'm right about that. Maybe it's actually not called Valhalla.
No, it's Jotun.
Yeah.
You're thinking Jotun. You know what? Yeah. I do need to give that one another try. Another honest-to-goodness try. Maybe that's what I'll do when I come back next time. Next
episode.
Yeah, just
because it's very... it's up your alley and it's just like a good old Norse...
Oof, yes.
It's a good old Norse game. Of which I feel there are quite a lot. Like, niche, indie, or otherwise. Like, you could say... God of War 7 or God of War 2018 as it's called. Maybe the first AAA-ish in a while that's been like super North mythology. You could say Dark Souls, but that's just like because I'm a nerd and I know things. But that's not like everyday info.
I'd say that's more like Gaelic mythology.
Dark Which Souls. One? I won't lie to you, Megan.
Lots of influences and lots of liberties taken.
Yes. But also, I know that 100% that Gwyn from Dark Souls is based off of Odin from Norse mythology.
And we are going to get Elden Ring, which is more heavily influenced.
Yeah. That's like hard. That's like, it's interesting once again because I've seen Dark Souls, I've seen Bloodborne, I've seen Sekiro. And now Elden Ring is interesting because he's sort of going back to, well, not roots, but, you know, back to sort of that medieval-y kind of
style. The same Norse mud pile.
Oh, yeah, that he loves.
Cairn.
Once again, because, well, Miyazaki from FromSoft, he loves mythology. He loves North mythology, especially. Like, you can see hardcore... Everything from like serpents in that game to like the tree. There's like there's giant trees in Dark Souls. Like, he loves it. He loves mythology, especially Norse mythology. So, Elden Rings looks like he's going to be like, I'm dipping my toes hardcore.
Once we figure out more of what Elden Ring is going to involve, I'm pretty sure we're going to do the same thing we do with Sekiro and just pick it up like as close to day of as we can.
And then play it in
for like a day and leave it to like molder in the corner because we got scared by it.
I'll play it for like a couple weeks until I'm at a boss that frustrates me or I'm just like, I don't want to try and beat him again. He's scary. And then I'll leave it for like a year and then I'll be like, where was I? Uh-oh, I have no way to play this game. That's me and Bloodborne and now it will be Sekiro. I was so close to beating it.
And the last game I want to touch on because it looked very Star Tropics-y, but with Legos, sort of, is The Tourist, which is a puzzle-solving adventure game.
Well, okay, but it's like spelt like T-O-Y, so like toy tourist.
No, T-O-U-R-Y-S.
I thought there was a Y in it.
There is a Y in it, just in the wrong spot.
Okay, excuse me. So yeah, so it's like supposed to be like toy. Right?
I
would assume based on their toy-like appearance? Or why is it called that? Why is it called that?
I don't. You know what? Just to make sure it doesn't get combined with another version of Tourist where people might be expecting something bland and uninteresting.
You know what? I could.
This one, because I love Star Tropics,
yeah.
I think I'd actually really enjoy this because it's very.
Well, and also they are announcing that the Hotline Miami collection is coming for the Switch.
I have about the Hotline Miami series.
Oh, which I was like, I think would be a series that you would find interesting because
it looked very cool. Lots of cool bright colors.
Yes, it is. And like I would say it's definitely not for children despite its cool bright colors because it's like I'm sure it's rated M. I don't know, but obviously Nintendo is fine with that now. Like, Nintendo had Binding of Isaac on the 3DS. And if you know about that game, it's full of, like, blood and poop and other. So it's, like...
And very dark, mature themes as well.
Which is interesting.
Viscera.
It was very interesting that Nintendo even put that on the 3DS. That was, like, you were sort of saying before how Nintendo wasn't really interested in indies, which is very true. They were interested in, like... The very selectest. And that's why Binding of Isaac was one of the weirdest ones to come out.
It's very smart on their part because Binding of Isaac has such a massive following.
Yes.
But it's
bizarre for the 3DS. like as a Nintendo brand. Like something like what is Cave Story? Cave Story feels very on brand with Nintendo. It's pretty peaceful. It is a little dark, but it's not like Binding of Isaac dark. Like there's differences. And so I just remember that time in my life when I would look at it and I'm like, how did they do that? And not to say that Binding of Isaac is a bad game, because it's not. It's pretty like interesting. It's just like a bizarre choice. But
isn't the Switch like the first system that also has parental controls as well?
No, the Wii U had it.
Huh. Apparently yeah. I didn't dig far enough into my Wii U, my Wii.
Well, yeah, I even believe the Wii probably had it as well, but Nintendo is pretty good about that, especially since the Wii had things like Resident Evil. Like, and once again, the Wii has had violence, or Nintendo has had violent content, like, undoubtedly, but...
If they're going to do that, they're going to stick with the high hitters.
Yep. Yeah, or just, safe brands, usually... and then there was the part in the Wii where it was just like free for all where any shovelware could get published, but that was a weird time. So maybe that's why, but Nintendo, once again, they're pretty selective of what they put on regardless of the quality kind of thing, especially for the Wii. Now at this point, I think Nintendo is taking a consideration of the fact that, yeah, people like to have indie games. And people want them on their consoles.
And these are very select indie games, too. These aren't just, like, your random $2 Steam sale games.
No, these are decent. No, these are not asset flips or... Yeah, these are ones that are decent. Yeah. Well, decent is a relative term, but... Or relative. But, you know, they're not asset flips. They're not... Yeah, gross. Well, once again, relative. But yeah, it is interesting that they're embracing that. And once again, I like it because I no longer have a really functional PC to get all of the fun games that I could. And by them putting all the fun games on the Switch that are indie games that, once again, I couldn't get, I'm happy because I can buy them now. It's so easy. And Nintendo gets money. They like that.
Thank you, Nintendo. So we're going to touch on a game that we had played and reviewed before, but it's coming out with more refined content.
Which one?
We're talking Dead by Daylight.
Yes, Dead by Daylight. It has the slashes. It looks like a Dead by Daylight 5, but it's just Dead by Daylight.
They just keep coming in with more and more horror movie tropes and villains and characters.
Yeah, this one makes sense, though. Not makes sense, but here they so for those of you who are in the know, Stranger Things, which is a Netflix original series, takes place in the 80s, sci-fi-ish. They are having the monster from that. I guess that's sort of spoilers if you haven't seen the first episode. And then, And then they have two characters, Nancy and Steve, which is great choice.
Yeah.
I know. To be honest, Steve is a fan favorite and makes sense a little more regarding fighting monsters versus another character they could have chosen was probably Jonathan. But Jonathan is not as cool, nor is as loved as Steve. So Nancy's pretty cool, but I'm pretty excited about Steve.
Well, there's no reason why they can't eventually also release Jonathan and hopefully even Robin.
No one, yeah, but I was like, yeah, I doubt it. But just in terms of I think they chose characters that actually fight more than the average bear in the show. But I just sort of want to talk. Yeah, this, I don't know if it's a trend. But I think it's an interesting one, and I think, I don't want to say Dead by Daylight started it, because there's probably another smaller game that did it, but it's like this kill your friends sort of thing, I guess, where one person gets to be a killer, and then the other people get to be hunted down by said.
It's tag, killer. But aggressive.
Oh, I guess it is tag.
You're essentially playing tag.
Yeah, tag, yeah, oh, well, it's like tag where everybody's out. Dodgeball tag, but with a knife.
freeze tag if you play the game long and hard enough.
I guess so.
And the system just freezes.
Yeah, just my computer.
That's a computer joke, everybody.
Oh, so, and even in other games like the Friday the 13th game, which, like, and I won't say any of these games. I think Dead by Daylight is the one that is doing the best or and is sort of the most functional, the most highly reviewed or enjoyed, I'll say.
More critically acclaimed.
Yeah. Just because there's another one that came out. There was a beta, I think, back in May for it or earlier. It might still be in beta. I'm not a hundo on that.
Are we talking Friday the 13th?
No. It's called Hide or Die, which is a newer one. And it's kind of interesting because it kind of flips the method or flips the script. That's the word I'm looking for on the killer tag game. Once again, there's a lot of these. It's a genre now, right? Mm-hmm. So this one is, you obviously are with a group of people, and there's like a darkness orb. Yeah. And people can choose to either go grab the darkness orb. Only one person gets it, and then they turn into, you know, the killer or whatever. And each stage has, you know, their own killer. There's like a mad scientist. I don't remember the other ones, but yeah. And you only do get this power for a limited amount of time. And people can, like, hurt you and lower your bar, your time faster sort of thing.
This thing just made me think of Pac-Man.
I guess so. It is. Oh, my gosh. It is. Like, it's 100%. You're right.
It's 100% Pac-Man where you try and find the orb and get
everybody's
powerful.
After you. You know, yeah, everybody goes to the one. And then immediately, as soon as you get it, everybody runs the other way. You're 100% correct. There is another option, though, if you can basically start up a bunch of sort of little hubs, because you're supposed to be in a quote-unquote underground bunker, and this you're like test subjects on an island, and it has sort of that PUBG thing where it slowly makes the map smaller, you know. Huh. What I mean, it has like a lot of things in it. I don't know if that one is necessarily important, because it's honestly, I like exploring. I like how the Friday the 13th does it, where it's like a pretty big map and you can get around pretty okay. And obviously Jason, who's slower, he usually has teleportation options, so you can go a little faster with Jason because he's, once again, slower.
He also doesn't have the endurance drawback of the other
characters. No, you can like knock him out or stun him with certain things in that game. Versus like Dead by Daylight, you can't really, you can get the bad guy stuck in like maybe their own bear traps or something, but you can't really hurt them. You can just sort of like avoid them stealthily or like swiftly.
Or delay them.
Yeah, versus in Hide or Die, so you can basically, once again, choose to go after the killer orb, call it that, or you can go try to stop, like, the darkness from forming. And basically, I think what this does is probably, like, I haven't ever seen anybody beat this, but it basically reverses the killer orb thing, and it makes it so nobody can be the killer, and I think it just sort of stops that. Then you win that way. But obviously, people as a killer can come and stop you, right?
Right.
Like, that's sort of... So I do like that aspect. Like, there's multiple aspects of this game where you can try to be the killer. You can try to, like, hide. Like, you don't actually have to do anything. You could just, like, hide, avoid. You don't have to go out of your way to, like, turn on these generators to try and, like, stop the magic from happening.
to escape.
Yeah, I just sort of thought it was, like, kind of an interesting one, especially in the way where you could actually very much just, like, form friendships on the battlefield and then immediately turn around and be like, oops, I got the dark orb.
This is a good friendship while it lasted.
Yeah, yeah. And so I kind of like that. Obviously, in Jason or in the other two, Dead by Daylight and Friday the 13th, they have that sort of aspect where, you know, you could be friends with somebody in one game and then the next game they could be the killer or whatever. But this is sort of, like, I guess more immediate. So the betrayal is more immediate, and it's kind of...
Woof.
Yeah, and I like that aspect because, you know, it does give you more, like, who can I trust? But also there's the aspect of, you know, you can't trust people who maybe are working to try to reverse the darkness.
The but, only yeah. game more aggressive would be Mario Party.
I know. Mario Party is just a, like, once again, these most of these games have nothing on, like, the aggressiveness of Mario Party and stuff. Like, and to the extent that people get mad, like, it's very, like, Nintendo games, once again, like, bring out a lot of people. Mario Party, why did you do this to our family?
Like, if you don't want aggression, go back and play Mario Kart. And you'll still get some fights, but they won't be nearly as personal.
No, that's true. I like Mario Kart. That's like a soft blow after
unless you
Mario.
Do battle mode.
I love battle mode, though, too. It's so fun.
And that's why we don't play Mario Party or Mario Kart in our house, because we get a little too angry.
Battle Party. Or yeah. Because, once again, the CPU beats us. It doesn't. It's just,
all got to gang up on the CPU.
It didn't matter. They were too strong or were just too bad at Mario Party. I'm bad at Mario. Like, I won't lie. I usually end up in very
angry.
No, I was like in the last play. Not very angry, just sort of like, I guess this is what I expected. I guess I'm just not very good at this game. I don't understand these wild controls.
Just too alien, too awful.
Yeah, too. I need something a little more simple, a little more less complex than Mario Party.
Like Clue.
No.
Video game Clue.
Once again, video game board games or card games. Once again, the only one I've ever played was the Kingdom Hearts one. And I actually enjoyed it up until the part where, like, I could never go back, and I had already, like, used up a thing that I needed. So, you know, I was just like, well, I guess I'm selling this game. Bye.
Well, it's the ideal way of playing Monopoly, because you don't have to set up the board, and somebody else knows the rules called the computer, and you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, but then you can't cheat, Megan.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Someone likes to play on the Monopoly on the computer, eh? Okay.
You can only cheat if you try real hard and put in the codes.
I was like, and destroy the video game. That's how you won against Monopoly for the SNES.
All right, everybody. That's everything we got for you for this week. There's lots of games coming out that we will be able to review and have fun with or rage quit. We will find out in the future. I'll try Jotun again. And
like, I feel, even give me a sports game. Over a board game video game, which is kind of sad. But anyways, bye-bye.
Keep slacking, everybody.